We read in John's Gospel, at chapter 18 and 19. Please turn back with me now to this passage and the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. And I'll read again words that are marked with verse numbers 37 and 38. So, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. "What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? Let me start by just telling you briefly what we plan to do on Wednesday with the whole of the sixth year, all day in school. It's a privilege to have that opportunity, and we want to make the most of it. And Dave and I have been working together to prepare a program for the day. And one of the topics that is very much live just now is the topic of fake news. That is, news that is reported as though it is true, but turns out not to be true, and may have been reported as true mistakenly, or it may be because people, for their own ends, were reporting the news in a certain way, distorting it, inventing it, for their own political, ideological agendas. This is a very, very serious issue, fake news. And on top of that is the fact that many people don't really seem to want to know what the truth is. They seem to be more interested in hearing the things that agree with their opinions than in actually hearing what the truth is. And that is also a big problem in our society, an increasing problem. So we're going to tackle the question of what is truth, and we're going to look at it in the areas of art and science and morality and God, and we are going to hopefully get ourselves and the pupils thinking deeply about the fact that there is such a thing as truth, and that it's very important to know what the truth is. Because it's the truth, as Jesus says, that sets us free. Pilate asks this question in verse 38. What is truth? He could be asking this question because he really wants to know. He could be asking it because he wants to know what is the nature of truth and what is the content of truth. What is the truth? When you are wide awake and see everything clearly, what do you see? Do you see truth? Are you seeing truth right now? What is the reality of things, really? What is the true nature of our existence? Our human knowledge is very limited. But if we were able to see the whole show, if you like, what would we really see? What would it really be like? Not just to see the stage and to see the actors who are on the stage, but to see behind the scenes and see the whole event of our lives with all its players and all its forces and all the factors that are there. What would we actually see? See all the agencies that are involved in our lives and what they're doing. That would be to see truth. As it is, we only see a very limited part all the time. And Jesus here is beginning to show Pilate a bit more than he's been thinking about up to now. Verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." You're seeing what's on the stage, Pilate, but there's more behind the stage, behind the scenes. And in verse 37, you're right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus is saying to Pilate, there is such a thing as truth. And the truth is with me. And if you're a person of truth, then you'll listen to me. And if you tonight are a person of truth, you'll listen to Jesus. Jesus is saying that yes, he is a king, but he doesn't look like one. Well, that's because his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's not of this world. He is a king, and there is a kingdom that is not of this world. And he is the king of that kingdom. And he really is a king. And this kingdom is far greater than anything that Pilate represents. In fact, Jesus was born into this world, but he came into the world. He was before the world, before he was born in the world. And he came into the world. So there's a lot more to Jesus than meets the eye. He is the truth, and he is a king, and he is a kingdom, and he existed before he was born. There's a lot more for Pilate to appreciate and understand. Pilate's just seeing what's on the stage, but there's a lot more to see behind the scenes of this man, Jesus Christ. And here's the challenge for us tonight. The challenge is, are we prepared to ask about truth? Are we prepared to know the truth? Do we really want to know what the truth is? Do we really want to know about what the true picture is of life, and whether we're talking about the God question and science, or whether we're talking about what's right and wrong, or whether we're talking about God or about salvation? Do we really want to know? Are we prepared to face up to the truth? That's the challenge. And that's the challenge we'll be putting to the 6 years. But it's a challenge that Jesus puts to Pilate here, and he puts to us as well. He says, are you on the side of truth, Pilate? And Pilate proceeds to show by his actions that he isn't. Are you on the side of truth? He asks you tonight, and he asks me tonight. And that's the question that we must answer. And if we know what the truth is, are we prepared to commit to it as well? That's a challenge. Because we've got deceitful hearts. It's not straightforward for you or for me. I've said it before, that the person who's most likely to mislead you is not the person who comes on the telephone trying to scam you out of money. It's not the person who sends you an email trying to fool you into handing over your account details. The person that's most likely to fool you is yourself. The most deceitful thing that you have to deal with is your own heart. Your own desires, your own inclinations, your preferences, your conceits, your delusions, all of these things are far more likely to mislead you than someone else's. And so coming even into a knowledge of the truth and what the truth is doesn't mean that you'll choose it. Doesn't mean that you'll like it and want it. It doesn't mean that you'll embrace it. Often, because of the deceitfulness of our hearts, we choose something else. We choose something that doesn't correspond to the way things really are. We choose something that doesn't take into account God or Jesus or the kingdom that's not of this world. And we choose to live a lie. Basically, we live a lie. And the lie seems to work. And we go on through life living that lie until finally the truth faces us. And it always faces us in the end, because there's a day of judgment. And that's when the truth faces us. And we have to face the consequences of rejecting the truth. And of finding out how far out of tune with the truth we are. So we've got to be very careful about following our own hearts. What we need to do instead is receive Jesus as our King and our Lord. So let's look at Pilate. What happens to Pilate here? It's fascinating to follow what happens to Pilate. He does know part of the truth. If you go to verse 38, you see he says, "I find no basis for a charge against him." He knows that much. Jesus is innocent. He knows that if he follows the truth, he should release Jesus. So far, so good. But he also knows that if he releases Jesus, this will not please the Jewish leaders. And he wants to please the Jewish leaders. He wants to please the Jewish leaders because he, Pontius Pilate, is trying to win them over. He's got a bad record. He's not been a good procurator in Judea so far. He's been a stubborn, insensitive man. He's been cruel. And the Jews have not appreciated that. And they've been so enraged by his behaviour that they've already reported him to Tiberius Caesar in Rome. And Tiberius actually came down on the side of the Jewish leaders and gave Pontius Pilate a rebuke. And Pilate is afraid that if that happens again, he's going to lose his job. And he likes his job because it's cushy and well paid, and he doesn't want to lose it. So even though he knows Jesus is innocent, he's trying to please the Jewish leaders so that he won't lose his job. So what he tries, first of all, is to make them choose between two things where he thinks they're bound to choose Jesus. Matthew's Gospel explains it a bit more, that Pilate basically says, "Jesus or Barabbas." And he thinks, they'll surely choose to release Jesus at the feast because Barabbas is worse than Jesus. Barabbas is it just a nasty piece of work. But of course we know it doesn't work. They choose the nasty piece of work over the Lord of glory. There's a challenge there for you or me. Because what Pilate does is he puts the decision about what to do with Jesus into the hands of the Jewish leaders. He says, "Here's a choice for you, Jesus or Barabbas." And what he's really trying to do is save his own job. Do you ever do that? You know what the right thing is. You know what the true thing is. But you haven't just got the courage to do it. Because there are people who maybe won't want you to do it. Maybe it's becoming a Christian. And so you put the decision into their hands in some way or other. Sometimes you can do that. You can put a decision into the hands of the Jewish leaders like Pilate does, into the hands of your employer, hands of a friend, in the hands of someone in your family, so that you don't have to make the decision. It's a difficult decision. It's a moral decision. It's a right and wrong decision. And you know you should make it yourself, but you just don't have the courage. That's what Pilate does. It's not good. We just should do the right thing, no matter what other people think. And if he had done that, this whole story would have turned out very differently. Well, at this point, Matthew again tells us that Pilate's wife reports to Pilate and says, "I've had a really bad dream about Jesus, and I don't think you should do anything bad to Jesus, have nothing to do with him." And again, Pilate hears the truth. He hears it from his wife. But again, the truth is getting in the way of the agenda to save his job. So he tries another ruse to get the Jewish leaders to let Jesus off. He has Jesus flogged in chapter 19, verse 1. He has Jesus flogged. Now this was a horrible thing. This wasn't just like a few lashes. This was an absolutely dreadful flagellation of the bare back of Jesus, which would have laid bare his bones. Really horrendous. In the hope that they will take pity on Jesus and say, well, he's suffered enough, and they'll look at this, the man, as Pilate says in verse 5, here is the man. They'll look at Jesus and they'll see that he's humiliated, he's shamed, he's covered in blood, and they'll pity him and they'll say, well, that's enough, don't do anything more to him. Pilate knows he's innocent. Again, he says it in verse 4 of chapter 19 here. He says, I'm bringing you out to let you know I find no basis for a charge. Here he is. He's in the purple robe. He's got the crown of thorns. He's blood everywhere. Pity him and let him go. But they don't. That doesn't work either. They cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." So he knows what the truth is, but he can't bring himself to act according to the truth in the way that's right. So next thing Pilate does is he just wants them to make the decision to crucify instead of him. But he's the only one that has the power to say Jesus can be crucified. The Jews don't have that power. Only the Romans have it. But he wants to give them the power. And so in verse 6, he says, "You take him and crucify him." And they say, "No, you've got to crucify him because he says he's the Son of God. And according to our law, that means he's blasphemed, he should be crucified, he should be killed, but we don't have that authority. You've got to do it." When Pilate hears that Jesus says he's the Son of God, he's even more afraid, verse 8 says, to do anything against Jesus. Jesus doesn't help him, though. Jesus is silent. So Pilate absolutely knows that Jesus is an amazing person, at the very least, and that he is innocent. He maybe suspects there is some great reality behind Jesus that he can't really quite understand. But he just doesn't do the right thing. And you want to ask him, Pilate, why can't you just act on the truth? You know the truth. Release this man. He's innocent. You know that. Haven't you treated him badly enough already? Look at what your soldiers have done to him. Look at the state of him after this flagellation. But you, Pilate, you deceitful man, your deceitful heart wants to use this situation for your own job, for your own political advantages, so that you can please people. Have you treated people badly in your life? Because although you knew something of the truth about Jesus, it didn't suit you. And so you treated people associated with Jesus badly. Maybe you treated Jesus himself badly because you wanted to keep your job, because you wanted to keep in with people, because you didn't want to rock the boat. You treated Jesus badly. That's what Pilate's doing here. Next thing Pilate does is he tries to find a way to get the Jews to accept Jesus' release. In verse 12, this is Pilate's trying hard to get Jesus free. Rather than just release him. Why doesn't he just do it? He can do it, he's got the authority. But he's trying to get the Jews to say, let him go. And he fails. And so he sulkily taunts the Jewish leaders. Down at verse 15, he says, "Here is your king." He knows they're not going to let him go now. He's realised that it's not going to be like that. He's between a rock and a hard place in his mind. The innocence of Jesus or losing his job. And because he wants to keep that job, he won't do the right thing. The Jewish leaders make it even more difficult for him. They say in verse 15, okay, so if he's a king, isn't that against Caesar? Because end of verse 15, there is no king but Caesar. And again in verse 12, you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. So you, Pilate, you represent Caesar. If you let Jesus live, who says he's a king, then you're acknowledging an alternative authority to the authority of Caesar. And you're obviously not supporting Caesar. We'll tell him. We'll let him know. And you will lose your job. You'll be in big trouble. And the crowd, meanwhile, is growing. Matthew tells us this. The crowd is growing. A riot is threatening among the people because they're being stirred up by the leaders. And Tiberius Caesar will take a dim view of riots as well in Jerusalem. So Pilate, in desperation, Matthew tells us, Matthew 27, verse 24, he washes his hands at this point. He says, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility." But that's a load of nonsense. He's the governor. He's got the power to decide what to do. And only he can say if Jesus gets crucified or let off. Pilate is guilty. He can wash his hands all he likes. The truth is the casualty in this situation. The truth of Jesus' innocence. Finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Pilate is faced with the truth. The way things really are, Jesus is innocent, but he isn't prepared to accept the truth because it isn't convenient for him. And so we must conclude that when he asks the question in verse 38, he's not someone that's asking, I want to know what truth is. Instead, he's being dismissive. What is truth to me? What's important to me is looking out for myself in this situation. Pilate chooses then to construct a different reality in which he is the king and Jesus isn't. A reality in which he can act as he pleases, no matter what Jesus is or what Jesus says. Jesus may be innocent, but Pilate is going to act in his way despite that. And there are consequences when we do that. People are doing it all the time. They're tweeting it, they're messaging it, they're using their social medias, and they're using their platforms, and they're using the opportunities they have to gossip. Whatever it is, we're doing it all the time to put out different truths in which we are in a good light and others are not. But there's a conflict. Either Pilate is right and Jesus is guilty, or Pilate is wrong and Jesus is innocent. And the truth will come out. And it does as the story develops. Remember what happens? The very centurion Pilate appoints to crucify Jesus realizes after Jesus dies, surely this man was the Son of God. The soldiers whom Pilate puts in charge of guarding the tomb will see and realize that Jesus is risen. Very soon Jerusalem will be filled with the truth that Jesus is the King. He is the Lord, as Peter will proclaim on Pentecost, the one whom God has seated at his right hand, the one who is behind the scenes of the world stage, ruling over all. And sooner than he would like it, Pilate will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the judge and the one being tried will have swapped positions. The judge will be Jesus, and he will remind Pilate that he rejected the truth, and it will be Pilate's turn to be condemned. But when Pilate is condemned, his condemnation will be just. And this is what happens to anyone who rejects the truth. If we reject the truth, then we will be rejected on the day of judgment. If we are people who do not accept the truth, and we try to construct an alternative reality in which Jesus isn't king, in which Jesus isn't innocent, then like Pilate, one day the truth will come looking for us, and we'll have to face it. This is what we'll be saying to the six-year students. We can't say it directly because it's an educational setting. But we'll be warning them as we can to seek to know what the truth is. And when you hear the truth, to act truthfully with it. There is great danger in trying to make up an alternative reality. A fake news story. It's very current. We've got certain world leaders who seem to delight in it. And that is wicked. That is wicked. And it will come back to cause great harm to them and to the world in which we live. But this is the way the age is. The thinking of this age. It passes judgment on the truth and sits over it as though it can do that. And it passes judgment on Jesus. The truth always catches up. Jesus, in the end, will pass judgment truthfully upon all in this age who try to put truth above, who try to put themselves above the truth, who try to make up their own truth as though that was truth, and put that above Jesus. So for ourselves, it's important for us to face the truth about Jesus, and to recognise, as he says at the end of verse 37 in chapter 18, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Who are we listening to tonight? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to Jesus and seeking to implement his truth in your life? Live out his truth. Live by his truth in your life. Are you on the side of truth? Or is the truth like a hound pursuing you and you're trying to run away into some alternative that isn't truth? Because if you are, you will not succeed, because it's not true. You're not recognizing that there's more than just meets the eye. What you see on the world stage does not tell you what's behind the scenes. Doesn't tell you about the kingdom that is not of this world, where the truth lies, the kingdom of Jesus. It's Jesus and his truth that we must embrace. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.